This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit more about Democrats going insane here. Wendy's is closing. I'm going to get to a bunch of emails. We also have Ed Martin coming up this hour, about a half hour from now. If you've heard the story about Donald Trump pardoning these alternate electors, or if you're listening to the communists, they call them fake electors, and you don't understand what this whole thing is all about, Ed Martin, I just found the story to be confusing for people. So Ed Martin, one of the truly good people in this administration, he's going to join us about a half hour from now and give us the skinny on all that. But again, I want to come back to this. Poll after poll after poll after poll of Democrats in this country show the most important thing to them by a mile comfortably is standing up to Donald Trump. It is not anything else. It's not immigration. Well, they don't care at all about that, of course. It's not the economy. It's not inflation. It's not healthcare. The most important thing is standing up to Donald Trump. This is how programmable the Democrat base is. This is how programmable they are. 10 years of anti-Trump propaganda has turned the party into this. What I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, what I don't know is how do Democrats in this country live when Donald Trump is gone? How do they react? How do they respond? And you can say they'd be happy, they'll be happy, but these people are not capable of happiness or they wouldn't be Democrats. They're not going to be happy. They have their boogeyman. They have fought against their boogeyman as hard as humanly possible. They demand their Democrat representatives fight him tooth and nail. How do they move on? And yeah, I mean, we had Jen Psaki come out, and I believe still that she was trying to lay the groundwork for what's next.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And that your whole iteration you just outlined, I mean, he's scarier in certain ways.
He's smarter.
In some ways. And he's young.
Yeah. And ambitious.
I know that's the plan. I know that's why she said it. The plan is to take all that Trump-focused anger and angst and kind of aim it at J.D. Vance. I get that. But are they that programmable? Look, we're about to watch it. You, me, we're going to sit back and we're going to witness this. Are they that programmable that you can make Donald Trump Satan for 10 years and it's all you care about? It's all you want from your politician? Stop Trump, stop Trump. Ah! And then at the drop of a hat, you shift to someone else. Are they that programmable? I don't know. But we're going to watch it together. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. Oracle, just saw an interview with Dr. Oz after he treated the guy who passed out in Trump's office. Said we should never watch someone pass out because they could be badly injured when they fall. Well, no kidding. I never met any Marine who wouldn't try to catch the guy. But admit it, secretly you were giggling like a schoolgirl when some dude locked his knees and passed out in formation. It was always one of my favorite things in the Marine Corps. When you get to the fleet, now this happens in boot camp and stuff like that too. You're always in formation. You're always getting examined, essentially. They're going to come up and down, examine your uniform, all these things. But there is one part of being in the Marines that is so brutal, brutally boring. I mean, ceremonies. There's always a ceremony. You're getting a new battalion commander. Somebody's retiring after 30 years, whatever it is. But what happens during these ceremonies, Well, before the ceremony, you are told which uniform you have to wear. Then your life is essentially a living hell for days because you have to comb through this uniform in ways that a civilian would find unimaginable. If they find a tiny piece of string hanging out from anywhere, you will be destroyed for that. You have to go over it and then go over it and then go over it and iron it. And everything has to be measured down to the millimeter. Nothing's allowed to be off. Again, it's perfection. I'm not complaining about that, but it does suck when you're doing it. They're looking for perfection. All this is horrible. And then you have to gather one day. And they'll do this in the heat. Remember, it's the Marines. They don't care about your feelings, right? That's the friggin' Marines. You'll have to gather in formation. Then you will march somewhere. Usually it's a big field or maybe even a parking lot. Then you will stand there rigidly in formation for an hour, if not more. Keep in mind, you're not talking. You're not allowed to be on your phone or something. We didn't even have cell phones back then, but there's no phones. You're not allowed to scratch your nose. If a bee lands on your face and stings it, you will get in trouble if you slap it away. Serious trouble. You have to stand there in mind-numbing boredom for a long time. That's the bad news. The good news is, there's always a guy. There's always a guy who loses his train of thought. Maybe his legs are tired from PT that morning, whatever. But he locks his knees. And if you lock your knees, you are going down, pal. I don't understand the physics behind it. I don't understand why. I know we have a bunch of doctors and nurses who will probably email in and say it's something to do with the blood flow. Whatever the reason is, you cannot lock your knees or you will pass out after a short period of time. That was the best when you're in the middle of this big ceremony in formation and you just timber, you see some dude going down. Oh my gosh. And then you're with all your buddies and you have to sit there and do the best you can to stifle laughter. It was the only entertainment you ever had at that time. And I miss those times. I do. What, Chris? I do. Do you hear that? It's not because I'm a bad person, Chris. It's not that. It's the Marines. That's the way it is.
And Border Patrol agents were alerted that the street gang, Latin Kings, directed their membership to shoot on sight federal agents operating as part of Operation Midway Blitz.
A shoot on sight threat for federal law enforcement, that's extremely concerning to us. We actually put that out on an intelligence bulletin to all federal law enforcement, especially Border Patrol.
So there's something else we have to discuss here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there's something else to discuss. The Trump administration, I'm not sure the bad guys are as afraid as they should be. And I bring this up because, Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, they had a gigantic meeting at UC Berkeley last night. It was ravaged by Antifa. Ravaged by it. Look, the news tried the best they could to cover it up.
Things have been mostly peaceful. There have been some tense moments. Earlier this evening, there was a scuffle that broke out where two men started fighting. UC Berkeley police had to break up that interaction. Later, someone was throwing smoke bombs and a car backfired, leading some of the people who were protesting to run away.
Here's the problem. A lot of this was Antifa. I was told that Antifa has been designated as a domestic terrorist organization. Why are they on campus? Why are they rioting, protesting, smoke bombs, hitting people? Shouldn't they be afraid? Shouldn't they be underground? Changing their name. You got to color your hair. You're on the run from the law. Oh, would Al-Qaeda be out there demonstrating on college campus? No, I would like to think the answer to that question is no. So what's going on? If this is true, if I want to stress that, if this is true about the Latin Kings, it's a very famous street gang, very famous, very powerful street gang, obviously with a lot of cartel connections. If this is true, why are they that bold? Shouldn't that be something you're afraid to do? I'm a little concerned that bad guys are not as afraid as they should be of the Trump administration. All right, we'll do some more emails, talk about workers being required to smile, and so much more. Before we talk about that, let's talk about keeping our dogs alive. Hurts, doesn't it, when you got to say goodbye to them? I've done it more times than I can count, and I'm not looking forward to the next one, certainly with Fred, big fluffy idiot. That's going to hurt. But we sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food, and we've seen so many physical differences in him. We know it's going to give us more time. How much? I don't know. But 50% of the dogs that live to the age of 10 die from cancer. That's because we never give them nutrition, ever. No vitamins, no minerals, no probiotics, omega oils. That's why you should trust the number one dog supplement in America. Rough greens. Sprinkle it on your dog's food. Your dog will love it, and you will see the difference in your dog. Get a free jumpstart trial bag at roughgreens.com. Just use the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got Ed Martin coming up in about 10 minutes, going to talk about these alternate electors, this pardons Trump handed out. There's a lot of, what's that word they love? Misinformation out there about the whole thing, so we'll discuss that. This is not a big story, but it's something I thought might be helpful to you. The headline is Target requires workers to smile at customers in hopes of boosting sales. So, let's talk. A smile can get you really far in life, you know that. And I understand that people can be miserable or that people are more introverted. And I understand the laundry list of reasons people don't smile, but at your job, whatever your job is, smile. Trust me, it makes a big difference. And businesses in this country would be really, really, really well served to train their employees in that way. Smile. You will go back to a business where sometimes maybe you didn't even get the best product or best service because you found it enjoyable. I know sourpuss is a thing that can be really popular, especially with younger people. It can definitely be popular. No, I just want to scowl the whole time. You're holding yourself back. Just warning you right now. Maybe that's why Wendy's is closing hundreds of restaurants. Did you see this, Chris? Chris, where do you stand on Wendy's? Can you people eat Wendy's? What? You don't like it? Chris, oh, I know you're going to find this shocking, but Chris said it's overpriced. Chris, all fast food now is overpriced. I hate to say this, but I hate to be back in my day, Jesse. I really don't want to do that. But when I was a kid, if we went through Hardee's or Jack in the Box or something like that, a value meal was $3, $3-4. That was it. It was a burger, fries, and a drink. $3-4. We went to, where the heck did we go? The last time we did fast food. Oh, we went to In-N-Out Burger. We went to In-N-Out Burger for four of us. And I don't think In-N-Out Burger is more expensive than any other fast food restaurant, really. Four of us, $48. At In-N-Out Burger. That is bonkers to me. But hey, this is exactly why I was saying the messaging on the economy has to be better. This needs to be the messaging the White House is going with. Hey, you haven't seen it yet, but prices are going to come down.
Thank you for serving and sacrifice.
That was completely the wrong one. This one.
I think that.
That was Chris who pressed the wrong button.
I think that the tariffs help consumers. They brought down the budget deficit. And if you, MIT came out with a study that said that 42% of the great inflation was caused by the big deficit spending. So as you bring down deficit spending, inflation will come down. And the tariffs, right now we take in substantial tariff income. Over time, that will rebalance as the factories move to the U.S., and that will become the corporate income or wage income. And by bringing down the budget deficit, we are bringing down inflation.
Jesse, communists are currently teamed up with Islamists to destroy the Western world. Hypothetically, if they achieve their goal of destruction, whose ideology wins in the end? Will those who are left be sent to the gulag or be beheaded? Says his name is Rich. Well, you're not wrong. Islamists are being imported en masse into the Western world as fast as humanly possible. This is happening here in America, but it's happening at a much more rapid pace in Europe. And now you have countries like England. They're going to have a civil war if they want to save their country. That's what it looks like right now. It looks like it's going to require an armed revolution. Isn't that friggin' horrible? That's just terrible. But in order to save the place, they've brought in so many Islamists. That's probably what it's going to have to take. As far as who wins that in the end, the Muslims are going to win that in the end. Communists are very, very short-sighted with this. But most people, when they do the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing, most people are short-sighted about that. They say to themselves, well, we'll work it out in the end. Who's going to work it out in the end? Well, there's a lot more of them than there are of you. It's going to be worked out, and you're not going to be the one holding the power. It's not just communists filling up the government in places like England. It's a lot of Islamists filling up the government in places like England. I mean, look, Mayor of New York City, we've got him now. Now, you don't know, and I don't know, where exactly he stands on that Islamist scale. Is he just trying to check a diversity box? Could be. We know he's a communist. We know his father is a communist. He admits all that. Is he trying to thread that needle and be both? I don't know. But look, hey, let's just make sure we don't get conquered so we don't ever have to find out. I think that would probably be better. Let's make sure these people can't win elections so we don't ever have to find out. All right, speaking of elections, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, the controversy around electors, alternate electors, what are electors? There was a controversy around it, and now Donald Trump came out, and he pardoned people like Mark Meadows. There were like 70 people. I think the number was exactly 70. 70 people Trump essentially preemptively pardoned. Why? What happened? Did these people do anything wrong? Were they planning to do anything wrong? What was going on there? Ed Martin is going to join us in a couple minutes, and he's going to discuss what the skinny on all this is. Before Ed joins us, I want to talk to you about how you feel, how much energy you have at the end of the day. Not just when you wake up, at the end of the day, are you rip-roaring, ready to go? Or are you freaking out of gas? I want you to try some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. You know what I take? I tell you all the time, I take a male vitality stack. Maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you're not ready for a female vitality stack. That's what I recommend, by the way. Why don't you try some Chalk lit powder? Maybe you're a workout freak. You know they have Chad mode. It's a pre-workout they have with all these natural caffeines. But Chalk has what you're looking for. Get your testosterone boosted. Get your energy up, your focus. Be in a better mood. This is what Chalk can do for you. But they can only do it if you go to chalk.com/Jesse and start. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com/Jesse. Ed Martin, next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Ed picked that song, Chris? Gosh, Ed's awesome. Joining me now, my friend Ed Martin, U.S. pardon attorney. Also, he's all over this weaponization of government. All right, Ed, first, what are alternate electors? People don't even understand how this works.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, good to be with you. Thank you. You know, happy Veterans Day to you. I know the real day is the birthday of Marine Corps. So yesterday, but happy birthday. And thank you for thank you for nearly standing in the way of harm. But anyway, look, this is important, right? I got to tell you, in 1960, no less, an icon of truth and justice in America, John F. Kennedy, had a problem in Hawaii. In Hawaii, he was losing to Nixon. And so he said, get me some alternate electors. And two men and one woman, signed up to be alternate electors. They signed paperwork, and it said, well, we have a constitution, we have electoral college. If there turns out to be a need, we got these alternate electors. We'll take the place and represent Kennedy. And amazingly, Jesse, actually, there was a recount. It turns out they did flip it, and they became the electors for Hawaii. That's how long ago the tradition, the use of what is called the Constitution and the rule of law has gone on. And so in 2020, there were people who were asked, hey, we have had the weirdest election in the history of America. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's off base. Can we get some people lined up in case we need alternate electors, just like JFK, the sainted JFK did? Let's do that, okay? And people signed up. And then the Biden administration got in office, and they hunted down the people who were alternate electors. They hunted them in every corner from here to Arizona, from there to Michigan, and they just tried to make their lives miserable, and they did a pretty good job of it. And you know, some of the names on this pardon, we're going to get to in a minute, are famous. Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell. But most of them are regular folks, Jesse. Like they were part of the process of saying, well, the president might need help, sign up. And so the alternate electors are meant to be there in case the questions that are being asked turn out to be real. Then you have someone that can step in and be an electoral college, be a representative of the electoral college, a delegate.
Again, we're speaking with Ed Martin. Okay, Ed, so explain to people who are confused by this process, because the idea of an elector at all, even for people who are politically involved, they find that confusing. What is an elector? Why would you need an alternate one? Why can't the other ones just flip? What can you explain that?
Okay. Yeah. So when you do a presidential election, you actually are electing from your state people to go to the Electoral College. So depending on your state, Missouri is where I'm most familiar, where I'm from, if it's a winner take all. And so if Missouri goes to Donald Trump by one vote over Kamala Harris, he gets all the electors. And the electors, I won't go into it too much, but they generally are, they're tagged to the number of representatives you have, U.S. representatives and senators. So I think Missouri has a total of maybe 15. There's another way to do this, but there's an actual electoral college. It's the way the designers of our Constitution set this up. And that group meets in December, right? And within about 6 weeks of the election, any presidential election. So your state gets these electors. And so Missouri would get that, I think, 15 or 16. And they would be going to a meeting where there would be an electoral college. And it would be dramatic and all that. And you cast your votes. So alternate electors are because you're saying, basically, wait, Missouri's up for grabs, like Hawaii was up for grabs. And in the context of 2020, it feels a long time ago now, there were a number of states where it looked really dicey. Georgia was one of them. Arizona was another, where people were saying, hey, we better get alternate electors because we may get close to the Electoral College. We may find out these elections were mismanaged, or there was fraud or something, and they change. And so that's kind of that's how this happens, and that's why it happens. And it's totally normal. It's totally regular that this would happen. And from there, the story takes a dark turn because the Biden administration targeted people.
What justification did they use for that? And I know it was bogus and garbage, whatever it was, but they had to have used some sort of justification. How did they justify that?
Well, honestly, to be candid, Jesse, when we look back on it, it's a little bit like COVID. It's a little bit like a few other things in our lives. They just got everybody hysterical, and they said, "You can't question the election. You can't question it. You're questioning mom and apple pie and gravity. You're not allowed to do that. If you're doing that, you really must be terrible. You must be rotten." What we see more and more in the other investigations we're doing into people like Jack Smith, and now I'm talking about my other work, I work on the weaponization working group, is he had a plan, deranged Jack Smith, he had a plan where he was trying to use a conspiracy across the country to say, look, Trump had this grand plan. He was using all these people to have this grand plan to overthrow the country. It was nonsense. What he really, Jack Smith really meant was, I'm going to use the DA in the district attorney in Atlanta and in New York and the attorney general in Arizona to try to get Trump. To try to stop Trump. So it was really it's an amazing thing to have come to light. And what I'm excited about is when the president and I talked about this, he said, yes, we should pardon these folks. They were put out there to do the right thing, and they were targeted by Biden. Let's do that to try to protect them and to promote them and to strengthen them. And importantly, Jesse, shine a light on what the hell happened in 2020.
What do we know about what happened in 2020, Ed? Because that election is filthy.
Well, with another hat that I wear, there's a guy named Kurt Olson who's been in. He's in the White House as election integrity guy, and I'm in DOJ working election integrity, and we're in knee deep in that in the 2020 election. What we know is in 7 or 8 states. There was major, you know, discrepancies, it just didn't work the way it was supposed to. Then you look closer and you see the mail-in ballots were problematic. The machines were problematic. There's all these things that we know. And again, the way these alternate electors were targeted was not just we disagree. We think there's a law, a law that should stop you. It was we're going to silence you and crush you. We're not going to let you speak about it. And again, it reminds me of COVID, where, you know, if you say, wait a second, that doesn't seem like that makes sense. People would try to shame you and they shout you down and they'd rush in. So that's what 2020 was, what we can see now. And look, we're not going to stop. You know, I tell people there's no statute of limitations on the truth. There may be a statute of limitations on some crimes, although I do point out to people that many crimes that if they're done in a conspiracy, the statute of limitations gets a lot longer than people think. But there's no statute of limitations on the truth. And we've got to get to the bottom of it. And we're doing it more and more. And this guy, Kurt Olson, again, I mentioned, and myself and some others are really digging into it. And you have to kind of go piece by piece, Jesse. You have to find these details and then pull the thread and work them out. And we're doing it. And I think we're going to find that the election in 2020 was not just the most irregular in the history of this country, but the most fraudulent thing we've ever seen, at least in America. There may have been people doing elections in other parts of the world that were even more fraudulent. We've never seen anything like what happened in 2020 in America.
Let's just, before I wrap up with you here, I want to ask you with your other hat, this weaponization, do we believe we're actually going to get accountability? I don't expect you to be a miracle worker, Ed, and send everyone to prison the way I want them to go. But is there going to be some level of accountability for people who use their government job the way they did?
Yeah, Jesse, I'll just say it like this. I get up, you can hear it, I hope, in my voice. I get up every day. I'm like running towards this fight. My answer is yes. And my answer is yes, it's going to be accountability in the courts with prosecutions. It's going to be accountability in the public arena with what I call name and shame, where these people are known for all time. Not just for now, but for all time, there will be a record of who these people are. But yes, I see it all around me. There's lots of coverage. Some of it is bull. Some of it is not. But if you watch what you're seeing and listen closely and you know what you're listening for, and I'm careful about it because some of this stuff is ongoing. And I hate that. I wish I could tell you everything. But, things coming out of Florida, things coming out of other parts of the country. The answer is yes, Jesse. It's a hard, hard slog. And I will concede this. The left and the powers that be have used time as one of the great ways to beat us because they slow stuff down. We're dealing with schedules, the Article III courts and all. And it is a real drag on getting to justice. But it's not a total block. And, you know, Attorney General Bondi has been fearless in encouraging me. Like, she knows I'm a lunatic, like a wild man. So, and she's keep going. So we're going to get there, Jesse. And we need people to do two things. One is keep pushing us. Complain. I know you're good at this, Jesse. Complain about the speed and keep after us. And two, then help us continue to magnify and shine a light on what's going on. Because these alternate electors that got pardoned, Jesse, they lived their life. They had to mortgage their house to pay for lawyers. They had to do all these things. Their life was made miserable. And sometimes the cost of the beatdown is what is more problematic than the actual beatdown, you know. And some of these people never got convicted, and they're just, their lives have been destroyed. And to be very frank, we need to raise the cost of these evil people doing what they're doing, raise the cost for them in this. And one of the ways you do that is people paying attention to what we're doing, encouraging us, and keep pushing us. So don't lay off, keep beating on us, but understand what's going on.
Ed, appreciate you very much, sir. Come back soon. One of the good ones, man. I'm telling you. All right. We have more. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some emails because I'm way behind. Jesse, I'm 60 years old, and when you said penal during Thursday's show, I giggled to the point I just about spewed Fresca out of my nose. I was talking about penal colonies. What's wrong with you? Anyway, at what age does the male sense of humor reach peak maturity? I'm going with third or fourth grade. Look, I don't think I want to grow up. And, you know, I have something to confess. And anyone who's been around for a while will know this. Ladies of any age, I should say probably by the time you're 20s or 30s, you pick up on this, but some girls will pick up on this earlier. Your aggravation with the stupid, immature, gross things that we find funny, it makes it funnier for us. Ob, she has the most sensitive nose in the world. She can detect smells. It's like a bloodhound. And so the boys have clearly picked up on this. You know what they love to do? Fart as loud as possible. And she'll yell at them. And then when they fart, she will yell at them for farting. And then they'll start walking towards her to give her a hug. And she'll yell at them to stay away. And the madder she gets, the funnier they think it is. It does not dissuade them at all. They find it to be the most humorous thing, and then I'm laughing, and then she turns and starts yelling at me and blaming me for the way they are. It's one of the funniest things ever. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Jesse, do you think Republicans want to keep Obamacare, and that's why they're not talking? Look, Trump touched on this, actually, in this interview with Laura Ingraham. This is what did he
and
say.
And what I want, and probably what you're alluding to, is the fact that I want, instead of going to the insurance companies, I want the money to go into an account for people where the people buy their own health insurance. It's so good. The insurance will be better. It'll cost less. Everybody's going to be happy. They're going to feel like entrepreneurs. They're actually able to go out and negotiate their own health insurance. And they can use it only for that reason. That's the beauty, only for that purpose. And if we did that, that would be so exciting.
Obamacare was always designed to do what it's currently doing. You realize that? Obamacare was always a step the communists wanted us to take towards government-run health care. In fact, you remember Barney Frank? Barney Frank was actually on camera. Chris, there's no way you're going to find this video, but he's on camera. It's audio that's out there where he said it can lead to single payer or it will lead to single payer. This is way back when they were getting Obamacare rammed through. The entire idea behind the communist Obama and his stupid healthcare thing was to drive the costs of healthcare, of health insurance, up so high that what happens? People demand help. People can't make it. They can't afford health insurance. And so people will look to the government after the government ruins something, which they're doing with the healthcare industry, health insurance. Once the government steps in, regulates it, taxes it, passes some ridiculous law about it, government will, of course, ruin it because government ruins everything. And then people who don't understand, this doesn't apply to you, but people who don't understand will always look to the government to solve it, for a solution. Hey, my health insurance is too expensive. And what's the problem is the GOP traditionally, they're not great at counter messaging. They're almost, in a way, afraid of communist messaging. Well, we can't tell people to go find their own health insurance. We can't do that. The GOP gets afraid when Democrats are handing out taxpayer-funded goodies because they feel like they don't have any goodies to hand out. But we don't need you to hand out taxpayer-funded goodies. We need you to get the government out of the freaking way and out of our lives. You can't even describe to younger people today how much different healthcare used to be when I was a kid. You know, when you sit down with your doctor now and he turns and he faces the computer the whole time typing as he asks you questions, you know that never, ever, 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 ever happened to me even one time in my life. He does that because of the government now. It's all data entry crap. That's why your family doctor doesn't spend 5 seconds looking you in the eye when you go sit in the doctor's office. He's essentially a data entry specialist that went to college for 87 years. And Democrats did that. And they did it on purpose. Obamacare was never supposed to be the end. What they want is the government to run the healthcare industry in the United States of America. By passing Obamacare, there's a chance they made that inevitable because now normal people can't afford it. It's freaking awful. But you know what you can afford right now? Legacy Box. It's Black Friday time at Legacy Box. I know you have heard me discuss it before. Getting your hard pictures, your hard copy pictures digitized, your film reels digitized, VHS tapes digitized. Now is Black Friday time. This is Legacy Box's biggest time of the year by mile. And if you get your stuff digitized, if you get your stuff in soon, you can get it back by Christmas. This is the Christmas gift that I'm not going to say lasts a lifetime, lasts several lifetimes. Long after you're dead and gone, your great-great-grandkids will be able to see you, to watch that wedding video. This is so precious. Memories are so much more important than stuff. Go to legacybox.com/Jesse and get those memories preserved forever. It is the gift. Make your mom's day, your husband's day. Make their day. legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.